The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, so it was, 25 hours ago that Gary Eisen was a guest here on the morning show, and that interview has been played in a lot of different places. It made national media because of the comments that he made about the election results and trying to get them overturned, and sort of ominous sounding language about what was maybe going to be ahead as the Electoral College met in Lansing. And at any rate, as I said, that interview has been heard by a lot of people in a lot of places, including our next guest, who is a law professor at Western Michigan University Cooley School of Law, a former judge in Miami-Dade County. Jeff Swartz on the line with us right now. Professor, good morning.
Good morning to you, Paul.
So you heard the interview, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on some of the claims that Representative Eisen was making.
There was so much wrong in what he said that we could spend a half an hour going through them. But the first thing that I felt was that his veiled threats that he made to me were truly seditionist, in the idea that it is conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against an authority such as the United States government. The thought process that you can put out there, something's going to happen, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. Something's going to happen, but it's going to be really bad. And trying to intimidate the electors is truly a seditious act. And I don't think that just removing him from his committee assignments is sufficient. I think the Michigan House should censor him and then expel him.
Well, certainly our local Democratic Party is calling on the Republican Eisen to resign. We'll see if that happens. Some of the things that he was citing in terms of how election law works was not exactly factual, as you say.
No, they were not. First of all, he cited Article 1, Section 2 of the United States Constitution regarding the fact that the legislature of each state has the right to conduct how they select their electors in a manner that they see fit. That's true, and Michigan has done that decades ago by assigning that responsibility to the voters. The only place that it changed was in 1954, when the legislature said that they had the power to appoint electors if the election does not resolve who is the winner. And in this particular case, that was made abundantly clear three times in the state of Michigan. There's a joke going around that Joe Biden beat one Michigan so many times that he has the right to call himself Ohio State.
Ouch! that's funny, but ouch. Yeah.
So, and there were a lot of other things he said that just were wrong. There were no unsolicited ballots in Michigan. There were notices sent out to people, applications sent out to people to ask for mail-in ballots, but no ballots were actually sent out unless they were requested. So that didn't take place. He's claiming he was exercising some constitutional power. Other than peaceful protest, he didn't have any constitutional power. And there's no pausing. For example, like you said, we should take a 1 week pause. There's no pause. The vote of the electors is mandated for December 14th by federal statute. And there's really nothing that can be done about that. There is an exception where, in fact, the electors are in question, but that just didn't happen here. So there were so many different things that he said were just not true. And he premises his threats on the thought process, and it just isn't so. Everything was wrong.
Michigan Republicans and other states did this as well. Had their so-called alternate electors take their ballots, try to submit them at the Capitol, while the real electors were doing their job inside. What's the point of that? What are these alternate electors trying to accomplish? And I keep seeing people posting that Mike Pence is somehow the vice president going to make the ultimate decision on January 6th.
Okay, Mike Pence does not make the ultimate decision. That's the first thing that they have to get out of their minds, okay? The rules are set up completely different than that. But alternate electors are where there is a dispute within the state and the election process and or the governor of the state and or the legislature of the state, whoever has the authority, does not accept the certifications of their elections, and they put forth electors, which now become a credentials fight in front of the United States Senate. And none of that occurs. Just calling yourself an alternate elector doesn't do it. You have to be certified by your state. It has to be submitted by some authority within your state that says these are all alternate. This is an alternate body. We can't make up our mind which ones are the right ones. So you make up your mind, Senate, which of these credentials you're going to accept. So a bunch of people getting together and sending off a document to Washington is absolutely useless. It is meaningless. And Pence doesn't make the decision. And the Senate is just not even going to consider them because they don't fulfill the requirements, the identification requirements. So it's ridiculous. One group in Arizona actually filled it out and faked a certification from the Arizona Secretary of State and sent it off before the real electors voted and said, we're the real elected voters. That's just a fraud, and they actually should be charged with a crime for that.
Talking with law professor Jeff Swartz. Jeff, what is the effect on of all this doubt, all this cloud hanging over the 2020 presidential election? What is the effect going to be on future elections? Are people going to be less likely to cast a vote because they think the whole thing's rigged?
I think it may be exactly the opposite. I think what you might see is more enthusiasm for voting, probably for the wrong reasons, but there will be an enthusiasm for voting that I think that will be created. We'll find out in 2 years. There are some people who are saying that it will be a really extensive effort to bring out voters for the midterm elections. And if that is so, then we could see some real enthusiasm in a lot of the what we would call undercards. That is local elections and congressional elections. It also could create that chilling effect on one party as opposed to the other. And that would really bother me. If Republicans didn't show up because they didn't believe in the system, then that means half of the people in this country, don't believe in our democracy anymore. And that would be a terrible thing to see.
What do we do about that? How do we move forward and try and get rid of the misinformation, try and get everybody on the same page in this country?
I'm not sure exactly how we do it, except for that those who keep churning all of this dissent, all of through the misinformation, fake news, whatever you want to call it, have got to come to an end. Recently, I've been reading a lot of articles about this QAnon thought process, and they are truly a danger to the fabric of our democracy. The thought process that we really kind of need an authoritarian government. I think that this is very dangerous stuff. And it comes to the point where I think that the bedrock of all of this is that I think that our educational system over the last 30 years or more, 30, 35 years, has truly failed this country. And as a result of which, we have a lot of people who just don't know where to turn to get their information. And when they do, they listen to some talking head who tells them what they want to hear on a singular issue, and all of a sudden that person becomes their guru. And this is really, really sad thing to look at. I've referred to this many times as the dumbing of America, the fact that we don't teach our children how to think. We teach them how to count change and read the menu at McDonald's, and they can function in life. And I think that we have to return to the type of educational system that I got in public schools and that many others got in public schools that brought them to the point of being able to make their lives better than the lives of their parents. And we've just kind of lost that thought process. So people just really don't think through things. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what makes them feel good.
Mm.
And that's really too bad.
Professor, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Nice talking to you, Paul. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.